Finish my sermon prep, but I got called out in a flight. Who can we get? I don't think there are any other elders left, so Norman, I can repeat the sermon I gave last week. Some people in the back said they didn't hear it. Yeah, but 2 Timothy says, right? Preach the word, be prepared in season and out, so Lord help us. Yeah, let's pray before we start. Father God, we give this time to you. I pray that your message would come through and that I would stand aside and let you speak to the hearts of those who are here to listen to you, Father. May you be glorified. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So in your normal daily lives, when people think about Christians, what is their normal response? Especially those who are not Christians. What do people say?
Oh no.
Oh no. Why? Why oh no? They don't want to be challenged? Anybody else?
I think we
We're judgmental.
Yes.
Okay, that's true. We are judgmental. we're boring.
But they don't know we're not boring.
Okay, yes, we're boring. No, we're not. They feel convicted. What about, have we heard anybody say, well, you guys have a lot of rules. You have a lot of do's and don'ts, mostly don'ts. You ever hear that? Yeah? What about, how do they respond when they talk about the Ten Commandments? What is a normal response? Oh, great movie. I love Charlton Heston when he came down with the two tablets. No, that's not what they say. What do they say about the Ten Commandments? Yeah, it's too restrictive. I want to live life on my own. I want to be the ruler of my own life. What do you think about the Ten Commandments? What do you as a Christian think about Ten Commandments? Do we think the Ten Commandments are still valid today? You know, there are some churches that said, no, they're no longer necessary. You know, some of them reject them wholeheartedly, or some only reject a part of it. You know, they say, well, Jesus already fulfilled the law, so we don't have to keep it. Or some other churches, they'll say, look, the Ten Commandments, they were only relevant for ancient Israel. Or the Jews today. You know, we have Jesus Christ. We found the Messiah. They're still waiting for their Messiah. It's for the Jews. It's not for us. You know, Christ came to free us from this. Or the Ten Commandments, they're unrelated to salvation. Have you guys ever heard about those things? Have anybody ever spoken to you about that? But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? In Matthew, he said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Jesus himself said, the commandments are still relevant. I'm here to show its veracity. I didn't here to obviate them. I didn't come here to make them unnecessary. Well, this morning, we're going to take a look at the Ten Commandments, but we're going to look at them from a slightly different perspective. You know, I hope you don't say, you know, Dave, this is summer vacation. Don't speak to me about something heavy. We've heard the Ten Commandments before. But, you know, besides being commandments, besides things that we say protect us from evil, to teach us things that we ought not to do, I would also say that the Ten Commandments reveal to us something about God. Each of these commandments tells us about a characteristic of God. So I hope that we can look at this passage again, but from a slightly different perspective. But before we start, let's read this text. We're going to go from chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keeping my commandments. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. What authority does the Ten Commandments come to us? On what basis? It comes to us from verse 20, where it says, I am the Lord your God. I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 1. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. You think about that relationship. I am God, but I am also your Lord. The importance of this is repeated 5 times in this passage. You see this in verse 4. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remembering the Sabbath, it's the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He says, I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh. This is the first person singular. He's saying, I'm a personal God. I know you. You know, we pray that we want to be intimate with God. God is already intimate with us. He knows us. He knows who we are even before we were born, when we are in our mother's wombs. He knows how many hairs are on our heads. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to say even before we say it. It's this authority that comes from our submission to God as our Lord that he gives us these commandments. And God as our Lord, God as our Creator, God as our Savior, God as our Redeemer, he has the right to tell you how to live your life. So this authority comes, and it's this authority on which he gives these commandments to us. The first says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. He said, look, worship no other. God demands exclusive worship. You know, it's just like your girlfriend or your boyfriend. They'd be very upset if you had another, right? Just like our spouses, you when you make a covenant with each other, you have to keep it. I can't go up to Sarah and say, Sarah, you're number one. She'd go, what? Number one of how many? Or you're my favorite. Favorite of how many? No, you are the only one. I cannot say those things to Sarah. Likewise, we cannot have another with God. So what God is saying, he's saying, I am the only true God. You know, there's only one true God, and only he deserves our worship. You know, back in the time when the Ten Commandments came out, the concept of monotheism, meaning having one deity, worshiping one God, only existed among the nation of Israel. For all the other cultures, it was not. They had other gods. The second commandment says that you shall not make for yourself a carved image. See, God cannot be confused with creation. Who is God? God is the creator, right? You have creation and you have Creator. You can only be one of the two. God can only be one of the one, only one of one, and He is the Creator. Moreover, God is Spirit. How can we carve out an image of God when we don't know what His physical being looks like? You know, worshiping an animal, an image of an animal, is also worshiping creation. You know, when you think of carvings, when you think of idols, you know, it, for me, I see a lot of animals. You see frogs and cows and combinations of many different animals with horns and wings. But all these things are based on our impression of what a god would look like. We would be worshiping a creation if we worshiped one of these, wouldn't we? Another way of thinking about this is that God created us. God created us. Would God worship His own creation? Would God be worshiping us? That would be akin to what we would be doing if we were worshiping a carved image. In fact, God is so powerful and He's so majestic that we cannot limit Him through how we can carve out, because even our creativity has limitations, doesn't it? In fact, our own comprehension of our complexities of God would not allow us to adequately represent something that we can build with our hands. We cannot comprehend all the attributes of God. So how can we actually make something in His likeness? God is saying, I am the Creator. I am not the creation. You know, this verse also talks about jealousy, and this is not something that we're going to get too involved with, but when you think of jealousy, we don't think of jealousy in human terms, do we? In human terms, we think of jealousy like envy, like insecurity, but not for God, because God is incomparable. Who would God be jealous of? Who would God envy? It's not the same jealousy that we normally attribute to another human being. When someone tries to substitute something for God, however, that is an affront to Him. He feels offended. For He says, I and I am alone, God. I and I alone am worthy of Your worship. I love You, and I want the best for You. Therefore, recognize that I am the Creator. Worship only the Creator. Don't worship creation. The third says, God's name cannot be taken in vain. You know, for all of us, God is to be honored and to be respected. When God was referred to in those times, His name was Yahweh. If you look at Exodus chapter 3, when Moses encountered God the first time in the burning bush, in verse 13, Moses inquired, what is His name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. See, there's a uniqueness in this name. In fact, the Jews at that time believed that this name was sacred. It was so sacred that most of the time they wouldn't even say it. They wouldn't even say it. So God says, my name is holy and should be honored. When you think of unique names, you know, sometimes I think of people who are referred to by a single name. See, Dave is pretty common. I can't just say Dave and everybody knows who I am. But somebody like Madonna, you might not like her music. I don't really like her music. When you say Madonna, everybody knows who that is. When you say Tiger Woods, golfer, yeah, everybody knows who that is. Prince, man with one name. Kobe, you might think of beef, but people think of a basketball star, Kobe Bryant. Similarly, God has a name, that's Yahweh. And Yahweh, again, was revered by the Jews to the point that they would refuse to speak it, lest it be too common. So they referred to God as Adonai. This chart shows that long ago, people would not use or mention the name Yahweh. So through the 1800s, right up until the middle of the 19th century, where you see a blip, when people started to use the term Yahweh, people would not say it. Now, if you see along the 20th and 21st century, we say Yahweh all the time. But there is a sacredness belonging to this name. It's to be revered. And when you say in vain, it says to regard with no worth. Are you saying God's name without reverence? Are you using it casually? Are you using it crudely? Or do you trivialize his name? God is saying, my name is holy. You need to honor my name. 4, remember the Sabbath day. What does that mean? God is sovereign, yes? God is sovereign, and God is sovereign over our daily lives. He's saying that you don't need to work on Sunday because I, as God, am your provider. I provide for you. It's like your boss. How many of you have bosses? How many of you have somebody that you report to? Well, the rest of you guys are lucky. I don't now, but I had a boss when I was a lawyer, and if my boss ever said, hey, Dave, you don't need to work, take this day off, I'd be going, yes, I would do it. My boss never said that to me. But God is saying that. He's saying, Sabbath, take it off. Don't work. You don't need to be here. You don't need to work. I will still provide for you. And he's saying, on the Sabbath, keep it holy. Keep it holy. You need the entire day to focus on God. That means don't work. Some people say, well, can I do other things? Can I go play golf? It's tempting. But the Sabbath is for a purpose. It's for us to keep God as a central part of our lives. It's for us to rest. God rested, and he recognizes that we too need rest. So God is saying, remember, I am sovereign, and I am your provider. The fifth is to honor your father and mother. Now, I don't think that needs a lot of exposition. We all know what that means. But God expects us to honor and respect authority. Right? Whether that authority is God, whether that authority is your employer, or your parents who God has given to you. God is saying, respect authority. We are to treat our parents, our fathers and mothers, with dignity. They're older than us. We need to respect them. Some people even extend this so far as to say, respecting your father and mother also applies to the elderly. But whatever it says, God is saying, I value family. I value authority. And I want you to value your family as well. The sixth one, you shall not murder. What is the saying? You know, when we just prayed, we recognized that there's a lot of mindless killing out there. People do not respect the sanctity of life. They don't respect that life is given to us by God. God breathed life into us. In Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God was the creator. God gave life. Life is not often respected in today's society. You think about the video games that teenagers play, these combat video games where you score points for getting rid of others. You score points for taking away lives. God alone is the giver of life, and God is saying, we have no right to take life. If you think about it, every one of us sitting in this room is capable of taking a life. It might not be with our hands, it might be with some other instrument, but we are all capable of taking a life. But how many of us are capable of giving life? None. Only God can say that. God says, I am the giver of life. Don't take it. The seventh one, you shall not commit adultery. What is God saying? God's saying, I'm a God of purity. I'm a God of faithfulness. And he expects us to be faithful as well. He expects us to be faithful to our covenants. When we were married, we gave a covenant to our spouses. God expects us to fulfill that. He expects us to be faithful in our relationships as he is faithful in his relationships. So we should be faithful in our marriage relationships as well, because God is saying, I am faithful. The eighth commandment says that you shall not steal. Again, we see God saying, look, I am the sole provider. I provide for all your needs. All of our provisions come from him. If we have a need of anything, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to ask of him, right? In Luke chapter 12, it says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? In Genesis 3, it says, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Ladies, we don't have to go shopping necessarily. God will give you a skin to wear or a fig leaf to wear. He will provide. In Matthew, it says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So God says, look, I am your provider. I am your sole provider. Everything that you have, everything in your possession is attributable to me. It's because I gave it to you. You do not need to go and take what I have given to somebody else. The ninth says that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. God is a God of truth. He says lies and false witness. It doesn't originate from me. It doesn't come from me. I'm a God of truth. It comes from your enemy. It comes from your sinful nature. Everything that God does, everything that God says, is about purity and truth. Those who believe in the Lord your God should also speak the truth. So the characteristic that we see of God is a God of truth. And finally, God says that you shall not covet. You should not desire to possess what belongs to another person. It reveals that God himself is trustworthy and that God gives us what we need. We shouldn't have to want what he gives somebody else. We shouldn't have to covet, which means that we are unsatisfied with what God gives us. God is simply saying, look, I have given you everything you need. You may not have everything you want, but I've given you everything you need. You know, when we think about these Ten Commandments, usually there are a lot of negative connotations. But the Ten Commandments reveal something about the one who gave us these commandments. They reveal something about God himself. They reveal something about our Creator. Now, as we said earlier, that some people believe that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant in today's society. Somehow, they are obviated. But I tell you that we read the Ten Commandments not to think about what we ought not to do, but we can read the Ten Commandments to learn about the traits and the characteristics of God. In Matthew, it says to love the Lord God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's not just a replacement for the Ten Commandments. That's a succinct summary of what happens when you follow these commandments. Do you know who Ted Koppel is? Ted Koppel is a retired anchor for ABC News. He also anchored Nightline. He once referred to the Ten Commandments. He said, look, God gave these to us. These are not the 10 suggestions. These are the commandments. These are not the 10, pick 7 and ignore 3. These are 10 commandments. These are relevant to us today. And if you believe these, you'll know about God And you will see that we look at God through these Ten Commandments as the only true God, as the Creator. He is not the created. He is the Creator. He is holy, and his name should be honored. God is sovereign, and he is the provider. God is the Father, and he values family. God gives us life. We are not to take it. God is a faithful God, and he is also a sole provider. He's a God of truth, and he gives us everything we need. You know, when I read Psalms, and we read about King David meditated on God's word day and night, I remember when I was a kid, I used to think, oh, how boring. How can he do that? But when you look at the Ten Commandments and how it reveals the attributes of God, I can finally understand David's enthusiasm when he writes in Psalms 119, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day long." We don't really want to meditate on 10 laws, do we? But we would want to meditate on God's attributes. Let's pray. Father God, you are above all a holy God, a righteous God, a God that desires us to have a relationship with you. We thank you that as we read the commandments, Lord, we don't just think of it in terms of the things that we shouldn't do, what we should not do. We learn, Father, that you are the true God, that you are the Creator. You are the only one that we can call a Creator. You are holy, and your name should be honored. You are sovereign. You are our Father, and you value family. You are the giver of life, and you are a faithful God. You are our sole provider. You are the God of truth, and you give us everything we need. Father, in you we have everything, Lord. We are not in want. And so, Father, I pray that you would bring alive your Holy Spirit in us, that we can find true contentment in you, recognizing, Lord, that in you we have everything. There's nothing more that we need. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.